The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
And now it's time for the talk of the Northwest, the 9 to noon show with Greg Hughes on Highland Radio.
Hello, a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show here on Highland Radio. It's just approaching 5 minutes past nine on this Friday, June 14th. How are you all keeping? Hopefully we have the pleasure of your company for the next 3 hours. We've got a real mixed bag for you, as it is a Friday, of course. Our first hour is our Friday panel. We'll discuss some of the big stories of the day and week. We want you involved in that conversation as always. 086 60 25000, or give us a call on 07491 25000. And if you prefer to comment, it's highlandradio.com. And if you want to watch the show, of course, search Highland Radio on YouTube or Facebook. And on YouTube, you can watch on your telly or on your Fire Stick. Right, OK, let's say good morning to our guests, Katie Tyrrell McCafferty, community campaigner. Good morning to you, Katie. How are you getting on?
Good morning, Greg. Graham, thank you very
good
much.
Good stuff. Mary Coles, manager of Inidney Pottery. Good morning to you, Mary. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Good, good. Seamus McDade, managing director of Football Special. How are you getting on, Seamus?
Good, Greg. How are you doing?
Good, good. Before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, come here. What's going on with these bottle caps that stick to the top of the bottles? The glass bottles are favoured in our house, but every time we take a cap off a plastic bottle now, it's stuck there. It's poking you in the nose, scraping your cheek. What's going on?
That's an EU directive that from the 3rd of July, everywhere inside the European Union has to have caps that'll stick to the bottle so they're easier to recycle. So if you have a problem, I guess there's five new MEPs in our area that are available, so they're the people.
It's not going to put me off it, like, but you know, it's just weird when you see it on the milk carton and your favourite soft drink and all, and you're having to do that as well. Is that a routine, a retooling job, or is that a bit of a headache for bottlers?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the concept was the caps weren't being returned, weren't being recycled, but this is I think it's overkill. But
is it bureaucracy gone mad?
I think it's bureaucracy gone maybe slightly mad. Mad might be a little bit.
In this day and age, that word does a lot of heavy lifting. All right, listen, thanks very much for that. The final Irish seats for the European Parliament have been filled with the conclusion of the count in the Midlands Northwest constituency. Five candidates were elected following a five-day count. The election of independent Lutming Flanagan on the 20th count last night was followed by that of Fianna Fáil's Byrie Cowan, Fine Gael's Nina Carberry and Maria Walsh, along with Independent Ireland's Kieran Mullooly. They were subsequently all deemed elected without reaching the quota. Fianna Fáil have reclaimed a seat Sinn Féin lost theirs. Some of the commentary I'm not terribly comfortable with, I'll be completely honest, suggest it's mostly a team of celebs. Of course, Maria Walsh previously entered the Rosa Tralee, didn't she? Nina Carberry, a jockey. Kieran Mullooly, a former reporter for RTE. So is it mostly a team of celebs? What's your view, Seamus? We'll start with you on the candidates elected for Europe for this area. Does it really matter what people's background is?
I think with such a large constituency, Greg, it's going to always be difficult to have people who are probably, we'd call, kind of core politicians. It's always a lot easier to vote. I'm sure lots of people voted for Nina Carberry because they might have won money on her over the years, or just she had certainly had some sort of name recognition. And I think in a constituency that stretched from whatever, Leash and Carlow all the way to Donegal, it's always going to be difficult. But I'm not sure that people really put value on what the MEPs do. So they're probably happy enough to vote for people that look like they're nice people as opposed to what they might think in a general election.
It doesn't say an awful lot for the electorate, though, if your suggestion is true.
Well, I think it's difficult for anybody, even people who are active, you know, really involved or really think about politics deeply, to really know what policies the MEPs are pushing. And, you know, we don't get an awful lot of coverage on it. And maybe the job is not that important as well. So it's not to say that the electorate are not educated. It's just to say, is how big a deal is this job? If we can get people that represent Ireland on a decent level. And I know Kieran Mullooly from watching the TV, so he seems like a good skin, so we'll elect him. I don't think there's anything new. I mean, GA players have been getting elected for 50 years, so it's not necessarily any new that celebrities would come into politics, but it just seems to be a little bit amplified in the European races.
Yeah, perhaps. Katie, what do you think?
Well, can we just state this from the outset so that nobody, reports me for an election fraud? I don't get a vote in Europe anymore, thanks to Mr. Nigel Farage. But anyway, because I'm a British citizen. But I in fairness to Maria Walsh, I don't think she's ever played up the Rose of Tralee card. It's something that's brought up to her. I have a bet maybe once a year, so I didn't know Nina Carberry was a jockey. In fact, I think the most famous person in that, in the people that were elected, in for me, in my world, was Luke Ming Flanagan. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know if it's a panel of celebrities, but, you know, other people have stood in seats. It, just because you have one career doesn't mean to say you can't have another. I mean, look at Glenda Jackson, took an MP seat in the UK Parliament. Very famous actress. There's a number of famous actors and actresses that have took seats in the UK. So, no, the celebrity thing didn't ring home with me. I didn't know Nina Carberry was a jockey until you just said it. So there you
yeah,
go.
But did you know anything about her policies either? I hadn't heard a pip from her at all.
I
would consume quite a bit of news, and I'm not targeting her. And to be honest with you, Mr. Mullooly's he's with the Irish part, that new party that Niall Boylan ran down in Dublin, Independent Ireland. But what stuff he was coming out of his mouth didn't sort of jive with me to what Independent Ireland stood for. So I was a little bit confused on him. And to be honest with you, I hadn't a clue what Nina Carberry stood for.
No, I don't. The only two people of the five that have been returned that I knew anything about politically was Ming Flanagan and Maria Walsh, to be fair. I'm not a Fine Gael voter, but I did know who she was. I do know some of the stuff that she's done. But no, the rest of them, I mean, when they said the guy worked on RTE, I sort of went on and Googled him and thought, I sort of remember him. But no, I think it's quite difficult to put your case forward in Europe. I did watch the debate. So obviously from then on, I did know what they stood for. But
Kieran Mullooly is a good talker. I heard him talk on Kitty Beggs and he was on this show as well. Like, he's a good talker, but it's just politically, he's standing or stood with Independent Ireland, and the whole Independent Ireland message, I'm really quite confused by it in terms of where they stand on things like migration and immigration and things like that there. But anyway, obviously it resonated with the public to some extent. Mary Coyle, manager of Enid Niamh Padraig, what's your view on R5?
To be quite honest, which it doesn't really matter to me whether they're a celebrity or not. It really doesn't matter what they have done in the past. It's really more importantly what they're going to do now that they're elected. I think that's, for me, the most important things. I have an interest in politics, but it's more of a local level. Mm-hmm. I did have a chance to join a delegation of women to go to Brussels early last year. And I must say, we talked about the struggles of Ireland and the things that needed to be changed, and some of the MEPs were there. But I suppose I don't have a lot that I would say about them, you know, because I don't really follow that much. But I just.
But you see, Mary, that's interesting in that that is an answer really to the question as well, isn't it?
It is. It is. When I went to for the vote this time, I thought it was like a colouring page. There was that many there. And, you know, I can only speak for myself that who has the time to go through all that and see what their policies are and where they came from and what they've done. To be honest, Greg, I'm more looking at what they will do now for our country, mm-hmm. what money they can bring to this country, more than what they've done in the past.
The count went on for 5 days, more generally speaking. Do we need to look at a different system? Or Katie, do you like to retain the traditional drama? I mean, you know, if the American elections were run like this, the term would only be a year by the time they got all the votes counted.
No, this system does not need changing at all.
Really?
And for me, coming from a first-past-the-post system, I don't think you realise how lucky in Ireland you have the most perfect electoral system. I've actually been involved in a campaign of international people trying to persuade the British government to go for some sort of STV and actually, some sort of PR. And STV is the perfect solution. It's a system that allows you to vote with your heart and then your head. I am a massive fan of the electoral system in Ireland. And every time I go and vote, I feel so privileged to be able to vote in this system. I love it.
What do you think, Seamus? I mean, you know, it was the middle of the night last night before the final European seat in Midlands Northwest was filled. Is it that's excitement, that's the love, that's the drama? Or at least can we not have some sort of automated system of counting the ballots?
Yeah, I think the system is brilliant. I mean, I completely agree with Katie. It's a brilliant system and it does allow, and I think it's very reflective of our society and things. And it's a great system. But we've got to try automating at some point in time. I mean, yeah, I think you could manually sort the papers and then have some sort of mechanism that counts them, like what you would see in a bank counting notes. I mean, I don't realize whether, you know, obviously when you see recounts and very close, you know, human error does come into it. So there is an element of human error at points. But we've got to do something to speed it up, Greg. I mean, it is ridiculous that we voted on Friday and here we are Friday morning. We're only getting the final results now. But the general system of PR is brilliant, you know, but we have to find a way to try and speed up. I mean, I also seen that they didn't put any additional staff on to count them that they would do in the general election, which is a bit difficult to think people are going to be able to count additional votes.
Right, Greg, they should call it the Eurovision Song Contest instead of the election. It's a farce. Another disappointing for Donegal in the North West that neither Blaney, Gildenhout or McManus made it. Four from the Midlands and one out West. Bad voting in the area, James. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, I think Fianna Fáil will probably have to take some responsibility for that. They had a selection convention. They selected two candidates from three and then they decided to run three in any case, and it's clearly not worked out for them. I don't know what went on with Chris McManus, though, but anyway, I'm sure there'll be an autopsy on that internally. Just before the break, Seamus. This is not Seamus's fault, by the way. I shouldn't have brought it up. This is the stupidest idea. Yet caps on everything won't come off. Who's coming up with these ideas? Whoever it is, and I think this punishment may exceed the crime. Whoever it is needs locking up.
Well, Greg, I mean, I agree with that caller. And as I say, this is a European directive. And I know we'll laugh now about the celebrities we send to Europe. And we might not, you won't hear from our MEPs for 5 years. And this is the sort of stuff they're supposed to be doing. Because if you think that that a cap stuck to the bottle is encouraging recycling, it's nonsense. But yeah, don't complain to me, complain to Luke Ming Flanagan.
I would say at least 25% of the reason Brexit was successful was because of the bendy bananas and noisy lawnmower coverage in the newspapers. Could this be our bendy banana? Right, and we'll be back with more from our guests after these. Right, you're welcome back. Going to stick with politics, but getting down to the more local issues. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, by all accounts, performed better than many pollsters predicted in Friday's local election. Sinn Féin failed to meet expectations after running a record number of candidates. Some opinion polls last year saw Sinn Féin riding high in more than 30% support, but the party attracted only 12% of first preference votes in the local government elections. 12%. While that's still up and it's showing at the last council elections, the result is well short, I would imagine, of what the party hoped for. Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil both saw their vote share drop compared to 2019, but they will continue to dominate councils, with each gaining 23% of first preference votes and securing more than 240 seats across the state's 31 local authorities. In Donegal, it's 10 for Fianna Fáil, 10 for Sinn Féin, isn't it? And 3 for Fine Gael. Mary, I'll start with you, if that's all right. Do you think, I mean, often what happens, and you see it in Britain, you see it here, is the government sort of midterm, if there's local elections, often get wiped out. What's happened here is not the case. I mean, obviously, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael dropped somewhat, but Sinn Féin never made the gains they would hope for, and the government parties will be really happy with their performance last Friday. So, I mean, firstly, why do you think they did so well? And secondly, you know, do you think this pattern then will be replicated in the general election?
They did do well. To be quite honest, I didn't expect them to do as well. I just think, yeah, I would be thinking we're looking at an autumn election. They'll go now when the going is good. I was surprised that Sinn Féin had polled poorly. I expected them to do a lot better. But in another way, I mean, they seem to dominate the votes. I think what's interesting is that the vote in the general elections was so low. I thought, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are not voting. And I suppose the question is, why are they not voting? Do they not believe in this system? Or is there not a lot being done at local level? I just think... if they go for an autumn election and if they're re-elected, there's nobody better to fix a system that's broken than the people that broke it. And I just, I think, I was listening to your panel over 2 days there. I must say, I really enjoyed it. It was well worth listening to. But one of the panel members, I thought very interesting, said the country was in a good state. And I thought, my God, you know, on a local level here, I don't think that the economy is fixed. I think if you look at our health service, our housing, if you look at all our young people that are immigrating the country, nobody can build houses. That, to me, does not sound like an economy that's fixed.
But, Mary, obviously, there must be some sort of a bubble, because I think at a national level, that is the way they're thinking as well. Because, obviously, we've got billions in a rainy day fund and we don't feel it's wet enough to dip into that yet. And then, of course, they will be emboldened by the results in the local elections. Like, sometimes I wonder, is it me that's living in a different reality? Is it me that misunderstands the plight of people out there today? Because the voters obviously seem to think things are okay, do they? And obviously the government parties are going to be saying, right, what we said all along was right, because the people have given us another decent mandate. As I say, sometimes I feel like I'm living in an alternative universe.
But I must be in that bubble with you, because, you know, working on a local level, dealing with families that are struggling on a daily basis, I just don't see it. I don't see there's a lot of problems in our country. Maybe they're saying there's a lot of money in our country. Well, it should be used accordingly to solve the problems that we have. I think there's so many people looking at problems we have, but nobody's looking at the big picture. Nobody sees the big picture that, you know, what we see over the past couple of years is the working class family. The working class families are all struggling. And I just think there needs to be serious... if we go for a general election, there has to be serious work done to show the people how things are going to change with regards to housing, with regards to health, because otherwise it's going to be a bit like the general election. A lot of the population are not going to vote.
Do you see I'm not saying whether you're, like, I don't know whether you would be pro or anti this government, and that's not the point, right? But do you see less of an alternative to that government now if you were to go out and wanted to see change?
I think it isn't really down to... I thought in the general elections there that a lot of people voted for the local people that were doing things on the ground for them, things that have changed locally. You will see that they don't always follow the party, maybe, but if somebody has done something locally for them, that they may vote for that person other than the party. And I think that could happen nationally as well. If people see that parties will go into government and there will be change, then I think people will vote for that party, because we do need change. They say that the economy is doing well, but is it us here in Donegal, or is it everywhere? We don't change
There is a there was a survey of people who voted in the local elections, and it found that almost half, 43% of voters voting for a local election candidate, they voted for a candidate in a party different to their preferred general election party. So, in other words, they might vote Piers Doherty in the general election, but they voted Michael McBride in the local elections. Just to pick as an example to make it very clear what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But again, I don't trust surveys anymore. So that could just be a number pulled out of the sky.
Yeah. And it could be that they go around to, all the parties are around, they're looking for votes. People will just say what that party wants to hear. They're not given a true, they're not saying who they're going to vote for. They'll just say to the person that comes in, okay, I'll give you a vote, but you can't count on that vote because you don't know.
Katie McCafferty, your view on the results for the main parties and others in the local elections, and do you think that'll transfer to the general election?
No, I'm actually in agreement. I think people that vote locally vote very different nationally. I think that even talking about myself, I gave a preference vote to someone from Fingal and someone from Fianarfon. They'd never get my vote in a general election. People vote very... I was talking to one of those people and I said, that vote is a vote for you, not for Fingal. That vote is a vote for you, not Fianarfon, in the local elections, you know? And they got a preference vote from me. So I think, and I wouldn't vote for any candidate.
So in the general election, then you'll only vote your first preference and that's it?
No. Depending on who's standing, to be honest, it will very much depend on who's standing. I have, my political views. There are certain people that I definitely will not want to see elected. And therefore, I think I spoke to a lot of people in my circle and it was the first time that they actually went through the card to try and block people that, you know, that they really didn't want to see elected. So, but I may give those parties a very low preference, but like it wouldn't be as high as what they were in the local elections. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So do you think, looking at the local election results then, that Sinn Féin have an awful lot of work to do, or do you think that their support base will come out in significant numbers for a general election to see them make inroads?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Because you also have the geographical thing. You can see that in transfers as well. You see geographical transfers much more in local politics, much more. But, you know...
Saying that, if you look at some of the transfers in the European elections, they were going in crazy places.
Well, they were mad.
You know, so...
They were mad.
Yeah.
Because, actually, on the Saturday of the election account, I was in Meath. I had a friend that stood in Meath and it was her first time out and she said, I haven't got a clue about tallying. And I said, I'll come and run your tally for you. And I saw like loads of Niall Blaney votes, you know, when you just get your cast over the... And I thought, that's just mad, you know. He was picking up... The only person that I think really had, and obviously it showed in the results, a consistent vote across the whole of the constituency was Ming. You know, and that showed. But no, that doesn't happen in Europe. That the transfers were all over the place. But you could definitely see that in the local elections. There was party transfers and then there was the geographical transfers. And I think you're always going to get that. You do get that in Doyle elections as well, but not as much, you know. But
I think just before bring Seamus into some of the turnouts was incredibly low. You know, I mean, we probably averaged around 50, but like just one in three people were voting in some parts of Letterkenny. I mean, that in itself requires a deep dive to find out why are people so disenfranchised with the local political scene.
And the other thing is as well, is it's something that I said about on my Facebook page. we need to look at running mock elections in schools, because it's a difficult system to understand for some people. And the other thing is as well, is I registered Jimmy for the first time to vote this year. Jimmy is my 22-year-old with an intellectual disability. And, you know, a lot of people, I never bothered to register him before, but I thought, no, he's got to have his say. We need to start trying to engage with these people. Things like, I had to write my own ballot paper out, Greg.
Yeah.
And I tried to let him have his own choice.
But you see,
and explain things.
You like the... But I don't know. There's lots of things in this country that doesn't make sense to me. We're trying to get people involved in politics. We're trying to get people out to vote. Yet we have 60,000 18-year-olds for the first time voting potentially in local elections. And they put the elections on the same day as two very important exams. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So like that's,
yes.
So if you're looking to say, well, why are people not voting? Why would you ask a crop of 60,000 new voters to go out and vote on the same day they've got two critical exams in their Leaving Cert? It doesn't make any sense.
In the middle of their Leaving Cert, yeah, as well, you know.
Seamus, yeah, McDade, I mean, obviously your reaction to the, so the local election, I mean, Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil are going to be over the moon, aren't they? But the question is does this transfer to a general election?
Yeah, I'm not sure they'd be over the moon. I mean, they obviously, historically, these are bad levels for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but just in recent times, they've kind of stabilised. And I think, you know, it isn't totally indicative of a general election, because you're right, if you look at the makeup of our five TDs here, it doesn't actually match what our makeup on the local councils are. So I think Sinn Féin will do better in a general election. But I think Sinn Féin's growth has been incredible over the last 15 years, again, to get to where they're at. But I think what they're struggling with now is they're maybe stagnated. They're clearly the third biggest party in the country, but I'm not sure they can now. They have to find a way to become the number one party. You know, they've left the Labours of the world behind. And it's how now you can go at them at the bigger, or can we form a coalition somewhere? But you know, the government parties are, you know, I think unfortunately they're a lot more popular than people would like to admit, and that's the reality. You know, they're less popular than they would like to admit, but they're a lot more popular. People still vote Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil, and that's, you know,
it'll be interesting to see what the makeup of the TDs are in this county, because, you know, like, it probably will be 100% redress, one Fianna Fáil, one Sinn Féin, possibly two, and maybe an independent, you know. So that probably is kind of reflective of the local election vote. I think I have a sense that the general election results in Donegal will be actually kind of reflective of how people voted in the locals, but I don't think that's going to be replicated nationally. It'll be very hard, I think, for Fine Gael to win a seat in Donegal, even though there is obviously a core support there when you throw everything else in there that will be in there.
I mean, the 100% Redress Party has just done an incredible job, and just commendable to all the folk involved there. And that's a really, really good example of on-the-ground politics. Mm. They had a problem that the government buried their head in the sand about, and instead of just sort of accepting their lot, then people came together, created a movement, and now are not only just telling their message, they're now getting into government to try fix their problem. And just, you know, well done to everybody who's involved in that movement. And I really hope now that I'm sure they'll take a seat now in Donegal in the next general election. And that's really a shame on all the government parties, because that's a problem locally that all the government parties knew was happening, they could fix, and they chose to not fix, really. And it took a party, but really, really brilliant example of, if we've got problems here that we can't get fixed, then let's take it to, you know, let's create our own power base here, and let's go and get our own votes. And, you know, I think they'll take a seat, and they've made it much more difficult now for everybody else, which is how it should be. How it should be.
Darren says Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil set up registration hubs in hotels, then bust them all to vote. They weren't popular. They aren't popular. The refugees swayed the vote. I know that not to be a fact. I know there were buses involved. I know who commissioned those buses. I'm not saying Fine Gael didn't, but I know other parties and other individuals did. There was talk of, you know, 7,000 additional people on the electoral register prior to this election compared to the referendum. But Mary, from what I can see, I think it's quite clear that it doesn't seem to me that the new a new population that have moved to Donegal had any influence over this election. I don't know if you think it did. I certainly don't see any trend or pattern to suggest that.
No, I don't think so either. I think when you look at the Glenties electoral area, the voting, the numbers were down. I don't think that locally here, there was talk of that there were certain parties, you know, in touch with the new communities and trying to get them to vote. But I don't think that swung anything here locally. I think the people, I was very happy that a lot of the redress candidates got in as well. I think it's a big problem locally and here in Donegal, and it has not been addressed, and it has been a constant struggle for people and on their mental health. And I think, you know, it's they took it into their own hands and they have their own candidates now. And I'm really looking forward to them getting things moving here in Donegal. It's in my own family. One of my own children has a house with Micah, and I see the struggles. And I, for one, was delighted it's made it up.
Greg, just as I hear you talking about voting as it relates to postal votes, I work as a home help, and I wonder, do people realise what the elderly have to do to get a postal vote? They have to get a form signed by the GP. Now, not everyone has a medical card, so they have to pay to see the doctor. Voting for some elderly costs and should never happen. I wasn't aware of that, and certainly something I think we should pursue between now and the next election. That's unfortunate. In relation to the exams, a caller says the exams were on during the day. The voting centres were open from until 10 p.m. on a Friday. I don't see the issue personally. I just feel that those young people perhaps had much more on their mind than voting. And a listener says, I deregistered 4 years ago. I'm glad I did. What if you deregister, any of you, if you deregister, what are you, what message are you sending? What are you achieving in doing so? I'm not being critical of the person. Katie, do you want to take this one? Why would one deregister?
I have no idea why you would deregister. Because number one, a lot of the time when you're looking to get ID and proving that you live somewhere, you go to the electoral register. I think you could do yourself more harm than good, even if you don't want to vote. Some people say, look, I have no faith in the democratic system whatsoever. And it's them just making their point. You know, that's the same as maybe me not buying Israeli carrots. You know, I don't know. Maybe they feel like they're making their point, but I really wouldn't deregister.
A caller says, speaking to a lot of people before the election, many say they don't vote because they don't think their vote will make a difference, as the same people will keep getting, or worse, they say they all are the same, no change. I think that's the problem. They are listening to RTE and not hearing anything others will tell them, rather than the many major issues that are going on under the radar that will have long-term effects on them and their grandchildren. That being said, look what 100% Redress did, Seamus. You know what I mean? They converted a issue and a campaign into 4 seats on the council. And out of 37, it's more women. It's more than Fine Gael. They're contributing one of the women to that total, don't get me wrong. So voting clearly does make a difference, Seamus. You know, I mean, I can understand why people can feel peed off with the system, but that proves the system works, doesn't it?
Yeah, voting does work. I mean, it is demoralising. It seems like you're not getting anywhere, but there are loads of close counts, and your vote does matter. And you know, it is disappointing that only about 50% of people turn out to vote. And we have to look at ways. I mean, I remember once trying to get was in a boarding school in Meath and tried to get a postal vote for an election in Donegal. Nearly impossible. Like, it's not, you know, that just doesn't really exist. We have to look at more ways to franchise people, or whatever the word is, you know, to get them out to vote. But voting matters, and 100% Redress have proved that. You know, that was an issue for all them folk 5 years ago, but it wasn't on the ballot paper, and now they've got 4 councillors and they will definitely further their cause.
A caller says Sinn Féin have let their supporters down. They changed like the weather, coming out with statements that are not popular with their members, changing the flag and national anthem. We are Irish, we always will be, not going to remember the volunteers that gave their lives for the freedom. Mary Lou would need to have a hard look at her team. As for Gerry Adams, he needs to go big time hanging about says a listener. I haven't heard from Gerry Adams in ages. Mary, Sinn Féin do have a challenge, don't they? Are they left? Are they right? Are they different from north to the south? Mm. Are they conservative? Are they liberal? Are they centre? Are they left? Are they right? You can't be all things to all men, and some might say that they're trying to be. But do you think they will struggle to actually define a message coming up to the general election? Like, you know, if you do a deep dive on housing and in questioning, you know, even the party leader, it's very hard to separate out what they're offering versus, say, for instance, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael and the Greens. It sounds the same, but with more expedience, do you know? And like, do you think they'll struggle to sort of be seen as an alternative?
I suppose like Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, they all have to sit down now and think, you know, because, you know, they did, especially Fine Gael or Sinn Féin, they did poll poorly. So they have to sit back and see where did it all go wrong and can it be fixed before a general election? Is there a way, you know, they have to give clear messages of what they want to fix and how they're going to fix it. It's very easy to stand up and say, we're going to fix the houses crisis, as you say, and we're going to have the health system. But I think what all parties need to do is give clear messages to the voters out there, how they're going to tackle the housing crisis. How is this going to be done, you know, over the next 2 years?
But all you can say really is, we'll build more houses.
Yeah, but that doesn't seem to be enough. It just doesn't seem to be enough. All parties are saying we'll build more houses. Like locally here, we have been waiting for 36 houses here in the Gidor area for years. It hasn't moved ahead, not one little bit. And nobody can really say, everybody says, oh, you know, it's to happen in the near future. But all parties are not able to say that that housing project is going to go ahead in 2 months' time and all of those houses will be complete within a year and a half. Nobody is able to say that. So therefore, you know, again, I'm just always talking locally because I work locally and I work with the community locally. None of them seem to be able to give a clear message on how they're going to tackle the housing crisis and that they're actually going to manage to do this. You know, and I think for Sinn Féin, they need to sit down. They need to see where they went wrong. It was very interesting there that that person that said that they don't intend to vote anymore or that they deregistered. Mm. They're probably in their own small way trying to say the system's broken. I don't believe in the system and I don't believe in the parties that are trying to get into run the country. You know, those are the people that the parties need to go back to and the amount of people that didn't vote in the general election and ask, why did you not vote? What can we do to change your mind? I think, you know, they have a lot of work to do.
Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are delighted when turnout is low, says the listener. High poll normally will elect non-government candidates. Don't expect the government to do anything to encourage people to vote. Well, in the run-up to the election, pretty much at the end of every debate, the point was made that if you want to influence the outcome of this, whether it is to ensure the government parties stay you know, in power in the council or not, the only way you can actually do that is to go out and vote. My grandchild's doing the leaving and found time to vote for the first time. The person they voted for was elected, so it shows them that voting matters. That's great. Having the election coincide with the leaving cert may have been deliberate to ensure conservative allegiances to their traditional parties. The busing to booths possibly did damage to certain candidates. The only thing is like I as if busing people to booths is a new thing. I have clear recollection of buses going around the pubs and people getting on the buses and being taken to the polling booths and dropped back off again, or buses and cars going around rural areas. That to me is absolutely nothing new. Is it the fact that maybe it's to certain types of accommodation that's new? That's not nothing new, Katie, is it? I mean, that's been going on for years. Some parties were actually much better at it than others, but they're all at it now.
Yeah,
Listen, as many of you know, I'm from the East End of London. And,
what? With that accent?
And my nan always used to tell the Tory that she was going to vote for him because it meant that she got her lift to the polling station and she went in and just voted Labour anyway. So just because someone buses you into a polling station does not mean to say that they're going to vote the way that you think that they're going to anyway. Just on the Leaving Cert thing and the day of the election, obviously we are sort of governed by Europe because everyone has to go to the polls at the same time. And maybe it was a cost-saving exercise, you know.
Of course. Yeah. No, I get you. I do understand that. That's a very good point. Okay, we'll be back with our final segment with our guests after we take this break, and then we'll have the weather. A caller says the election register is a mess between deceased people, duplicate votes, people moved to different locations, etc. Needs a radical review, or maybe linked to PPS number or something. That comes in from a postman. Seamus, it is like I do sound like a scratch record, and maybe I've been doing this program too long, but. We talk about the election register like a few days before and then a few days after and then nothing for another 3 or 4 years or whatever happens, and then we go back to the mess that it is. You know, maybe we need to just sort this out once and for all, get it tidied up. I know some work has been done, but we're hearing from a postman there who's out and about. Clearly, it is a problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. You say, Greg, nobody will talk about it now for they'll talk about it again in October when we have our next election, I guess. But yeah, you know, it shouldn't be that difficult to get the elector register. There's so many, you know, in the era we live in now where we're so well linked to government bodies, it shouldn't be that difficult to get us all registered. But, you know, in terms of what that will do to encourage people to vote, that's a different conversation. And, you know, there are a lot of people voting, like you said, because they think their voice is not going to be heard. And they're the people we need to try to figure out, well, you know, or not really, I guess not really us. That's what the political parties need to figure out. How do they get them people out to vote for them?
Caller says, I like the spoiled vote that said number one in each with a note saying as promised at the door. Bit of a waste of a trip, but okay. What are the panel's views on local Irish children being refused a place in the school in their own catchment area? See, this is the problem, and this is what I think causes division and bad feeling, and it shouldn't be allowed to happen. You have a situation, and it's a school in Letterkenny, I believe, whereby, you know, new children coming into the area have been accommodated. And now, as we head towards a new school year, there's a local child who's been told there is no space for them. Mary, like, it is this type of story that's going to sort of foster bad feeling, you know, even amongst a person who really doesn't mind that people are coming in. But if that is your lived experience, you're going to feel pretty cross about that and feel that life's unfair.
Yeah, and that is what causes unrest in communities. And you can see it happening in the schools. You can also see it happening in all the childcare settings around. The same thing now, we're about to roll out 7 weeks of summer camps here, and they're all completely full with loads of local people looking to get in on the summer camps, and they're full. The bottom line, we had worked very closely with the engagement team trying to find out exactly how many people were coming into this area to try and ensure that we had the services required when a lot of the refugees came in here. And it's very difficult to do that because nobody really knows how many refugees are about at the moment because they're all moving around. And I think the engagement team is really such a waste of time, you know, to have met with them because we really got no information from them at all. So yeah, I can see that happening here, and I can see people getting very annoyed. Mm-hmm. And then they let it out on the people that have come to rest in our area, and it's not particularly their fault because, you know, they are told you're going to Donegal, you're going to Gaedore, you're going to the Rosses, and that's it. And they just arrive and then they leave the ordinary people in the community to pick up the pieces and try and get them fitted
in. And people aren't silly. Listen, we've done the story of kids not being able to get school bus places for years on this show, and then all of a sudden buses were being put on for 2 or 3 children. That is going to annoy people. And Katie, You know, what is frustrating is the government recognises this, because Leo Varadkar, when he was the Taoiseach, says, look, I think it was 50 million was going to be put into areas to sort of like maybe presumably better resource schools so situations like this wouldn't happen, or it could have been summer camps or whatever it might be. That never transpired. And, you know, good people, and what I'm saying is people that would ordinarily, not that that's good or bad, I'll just scratch that, let me phrase it, people who ordinarily wouldn't have an issue with people into the community become angry because their children are being displaced from services and spots and things like that there. And I think that really is the that's a bigger driver for bad will, I think, than antagonists.
That is the driver. You know, it's the driver that, again, it's about lack of resources. And it's the reason why most of us get angry. The government saw that by accommodating refugees, which is absolutely the right thing to do, but there's
not everyone
there's
believes
no
that, but that's your view.
Come
yeah.
with it. Okay. There's been no extra funding coming with it at all.
Right.
And that's the big issue.
Katie Tyrrell McCafferty, Community Campaigner, thank you so much for your time today. Have a wonderful weekend. It's been lovely to speak to you again. Take care. And great to see you, by the way, too, Dan, at the Aura. Have a lovely one. Mary Cole, manager of Inidney Podrick, as always, lovely to have you on the programme. Thanks so very much. And last but not least, Seamus McDade, Managing Director of Football Special. I'll tell you, the amount of that stuff being drunk in my house at the moment, Seamus, you'll be retiring at 50.
Excellent, Greg. Yeah. And remember, if you're giving out about the tethered caps, please give out about my tethered caps and not Coke's tethered caps.
No such thing as bad publicity. All right, take care of yourself. Bye-bye. Back after the news.